Before I do any self-promo or venting or, well, I mean, that's essentially what a podcast is, right? Just venting and self-promo. Here are my theories. I'm promoting my own opinions about the world. Nah, man. Let me just start off by saying everybody that's been coming out to the shows on this NorCal run, I really, really fucking appreciate you. I really, really fucking appreciate you. Because I had an epiphany when I was on stage last night headlining a show in San Francisco that was too long with way too many fucking comics. I had an epiphany when I was on stage, and that epiphany was, wow, I really appreciate people came out to see me, because I didn't always appreciate people coming out to see me, because you got to understand, I started doing stand-up in the golden era for bringer shows. And if you don't know what a bringer show is, a bringer show, it's also common in rap music, where it's basically like, okay, you got to bring, like in comedy, it's like, okay, you got to bring 10 people in order to perform or in order to get paid or whatever. But the expectation is you got to bring a certain number of people, right? And it's in these worlds where it's in these art forms that are oversaturated. Like, I don't think like rock groups or like acoustic singers, like somebody with just like a fucking guitar. It's not like, so, you know, it's like, it's vibes, it's chill, but could you maybe bring 8 people? Like, I'm trying to imagine, you imagine like a passive aggressive cafe bringer show for like some acoustic guitarist and like some poets. She would be hilarious. But it wouldn't work good as a sketch, because it'd just be like it'd be like overly inside baseball. Anyways, but I came up in that era, like, because like 2008 to like 2013 was like a golden era for bringer shows. If you ran a bringer show, or even if you were just somebody where it's like, yeah, I got this job and people just want to come out all the time, they want to do something after and they'll pay $20, especially at that time in like, you know, 2011, 2012, where, you know, the economy was like in a better place and a lot of people just had like a surplus of income. It's like, yeah, I'll go see my friend do some stand-up. Yo, man, I got a friend that's trying to rap. Well, whatever. Like, I'll dress up, drink, and then we'll make fun of them if they're good or not later. Like, so anyways, I came up in that fucking era. And it was, I didn't appreciate people coming out to see me because it was stressful and it was stupid. It was stressful because, just on one hand, like, from being somebody that was like a bringer for like other comedy show producers, I don't want to be like take advantage of, because it's like, look, you agree to do it. You're not a 14-year-old prostitute. You a nigga that wants to get on stage. So it's like, oh, you're taking advantage of young artists. Like, you know, it's, there's shit that we could agree that is whack, but I mean, or not your favorite thing, but like, let's ease down on like the fucking, some of that shit, you know? Anyways, even though I do think like that does exist, I think it's overused. Anyways, some of the, like, if you deal with a bringer show producer or booker, they're just looking at you like, yeah, you got the people, you got the people. They're like, one of these days I'll tell stories about, like, you know, being a bringer at the Comedy Store and other places and Purple Onion, but not today. But anyway, so there's this, oh, are my people going to show up? Are my people going to show up? Oh, they're late. Am I going to get to perform? Like there's that thing, right? Just from dealing with the fucking, you know, dickhead producer. But then it's also the other thing, right? Of it's stressful when dealing with people. Because, and this is not even just me as a break. This is when, like, I didn't have to bring people to shows and I could just be there off of talent and the promoter would actually do their fucking job and not rely on, you know, bad open micers to pack out a place for them. I would hate it because, you know, so many people don't just know how to show up to a comedy show. You'd be amazed. Like, so many people don't know how to cop the tickets, get dressed, find parking, sit down and enjoy a motherfucking show. So many people don't. It's okay. So what time do you go on? By the way, if you're listening to this and you are not a comedian, and if you ever ask somebody, yo, what time do you go up, and they're a comedian, I'm just letting you know, we fucking hate you for it, because we never know what time we're going on unless it's like, I don't know, the fucking improv or like Laugh Factory. We see the time slots. And even then, it's like, you know, it's way too, like, it's not even always guaranteed. So don't ever ask a comic what they're going on. Just ask what time the show starts. Are you hosting or are you headlining? That's it. No? Okay. Then either way, show up when the fucking show starts. Well, I just want to see you perform. Then don't come, like, I don't want you to just see, like, come for the show, like, because also, it looks bad on us, then when people see us, and then we get off stage, and they're like, oh, I'm gonna go run to the bar now, let me go find my friend, like, it doesn't reflect well on us either. So that's where, because so many people, man, you just gotta manage them, like, they'll be, like, asking you questions. Like, I had an interaction where somebody was asking me, all these, and I didn't invite them to a show, because at a certain point, I was like, I'm not going to invite people to shows, because I can't have it both ways. I can't have my cake and eat it, and sometimes I want to tell people to go fuck themselves, but not, like, literally, but just, like, get the fuck out of my face. So if I'm inviting you to a show, it's certain things I can't say to you, because I did extend the invite, right? But I had somebody, they were just being really, they're like, okay, so how's parking? It's fine, I mean, a few blocks away. And it was getting to the point where it was like, I'm not Google, okay? Like, if you want to come to the show, and they were asking, and I was just like, yeah, I can't fucking, I said, like, would you fucking message, you know, Kendrick Lamar or Kevin Hart, like, you know, hey, like, all these other questions, like, would you, like, or, cause that's not possible, you can't get access to them, but would you message Ticketmaster? Right? Would you message Live Nation the most basic, simple fucking questions? Like, about, you know, getting to a venue. And then there's like, yeah, well, you ain't no Kevin Hart. You ain't no da da da. I'm like, yeah, that's true. But if you think that means you can inconvenience me with bullshit ass questions based on success, then you probably don't even really fuck with me and probably don't even need to see me, and you should probably fuck with niggas where you don't feel inclined to ask some stupid shit. And it was like, all right, you're right. And they came to the show, because if it's one thing Lyle Behrens knows how to do, is out-real nigga people and out-logic them. That was a lot of venting that got in the way of my fucking thanking people. Anyways, nah, man, people came out, they got fly, and I truly, truly appreciate it. And it was like one person, she came out, she brought a bunch of people, and I was on stage, and I'm just seeing her laugh her ass off at some stuff she had never heard before, some stuff she had heard before, and it was just a really, really warm feeling that just came over me. And all I can say is thank you, and hey, Elk Grove, Sacramento area, headlining the Tilted Mash Brewing on Thanksgiving Eve. And then Friday and Saturday, 4 shows, Alameda Comedy Club, 7 to 9 p.m. I love y'all. Thank you. All right, so it's 2 things I want to bitch about. All right. So one night, it was after the Thursday show, me and the homie Hunter, we go out to this bar in Oakland, and we're just sitting there at the bar just talking, and he's like a true friend. He's just not letting me get a drink. He's like, you paid for a flight up here. And I'm like, I know, but I'm still working. Good friend. Good dude, man. You know what? A thing I notice is not a lot of, more and more, like, look, I realize inflation in the economy, but certain things, like, when it's a motherfucker's birthday or whatever, don't let your friend get a drink. Like, because there's certain things where I don't let the homies pay. Like, fuck that. You're not paying tonight. Like, it's, and I see guys out, and I just don't see, all right, anyways, it's like 3 really weird things that happened since I've been back in the Bay that just, like, remind me, yeah, this is why the fuck I don't live here anymore. All right, so first thing that happened was, so me and Hunter out, and we at this bar, and it's this girl, and she's with like 4 other dudes, and they look like, you know, like nothing feels sexual. She looks like she could be with some brothers or some cousins, like, but so she got it back to me, And I ain't gonna lie, she caking. She caked up, like double cheeked up, you know, rest in peace, Teddy Wright. But so that's happening. But I'm like, I'm not gonna say anything. I'm just in like, I'm drinking with the homie right now. I'm not trying to be very charismatic. And I got a hoodie on this with Tupac's LA driver's license that's on the front of the hoodie. It came like right when he got to death row, like somebody made that and they put it on a hoodie and I bought it. And I get a lot of compliments on it. You know, that's like my style is like casual urban athletic streetwear. Like that's my shit. Anyways, though, so I'm like sitting back drinking with the homie. Then I come back from the bathroom and she says, "Oh wow, that's Tupac on your shirt. What's like your favorite song?" I don't like really listen to a lot of music. And then I'm like, "Really? That's crazy." Like I feel like, and then we just start having this conversation. Like, well, so if you don't listen to music, then and we're having this conversation, and I'm like, I'm really not into the conversation at all. I'm like, God, this is, you don't listen to music, you fucking weirdo. Like, but I'm like, she double caked up. So I'm like, all right, I'll indulge this. And look, part of the problem is like, I need to like, just turn bitches down. I find like stupid or weird, but I'm like, a nigga gotta eat, you know? So, we're having a conversation. Then the conversation kind of like goes off, and then she's off with her people. I'm off with my guy. And then at one point, I'm like, "What's up? You want to do a drink?" And she's like, "Oh, no, sorry. I don't drink." And I'm like, "What the hell?" Like, and she's drinking what looks like a margarita. And like, I'm like, "Okay, you're on like your fourth one. And you don't drink. All right, sure." You know, not that people that don't drink don't go to bars, but I mean, that's just weird. I'm like, okay. And then I just walk back and Hunter's like, "Bro, just get her number before we go. Just get her number." And I'm like, "All right." And then I'm like, I go back. I'm like, "What's up? I was wondering if I get your number. I'm doing some shows." And she's like, she just is like, "Sorry, I don't give out my number." And I'm not one of these dudes where I'm like, fuck you then, bitch. I'm not like, that's immature. But I will say something like real kind of fucking, I was like, she said, "Sorry, I don't give out my number." I said, "You're not sorry." And she said, "Yes, I am." I'm like, "You fucking not." So I'm like, that's weird. Then Hunter, he was talking about the day. Then he messaged me the next day, shout out Hunter. But it was basically like, "Dude, fuck that girl. She's fucking racist." And I'm like, "Why?" Because she didn't want to do a drink with me or exchange numbers or whatever. He's like, "Well, don't fucking go up to him and talk to him." And this is like really important if you black and you gonna have white friends. You gonna like your friends need, or even like off white, adjacent white, or whatever, just even non-black friends. They need to know the shit that you go through in your plight. Because my thing is like, look, my white friends can have some racist tendencies and some blind spots or whatever. But it's like, if you get checked on it, you get called out on it, I need you to be able to like, let me think about that. Or, okay, let's like, I'm never surprised when people fuck up, but it's like the need to be better. You don't have to like see everything through my point of view. But anyway, so with that said, he's like, and sometimes what I like is like when they can shed light for things I may not see or things that I may not want to embrace. And I just want to be like, "Oh, whatever. She's just weird." But he was breaking it down. He's like, "Okay, you come up to my friend, you talk about his fucking hoodie, then you want to have a conversation, and then when he wants to engage with you and be like, "Want to do a drink? Can I get your number?" Then you like, and then you, it's like fucking insulting. Like, "I don't drink." I mean, one thing of like, "No, I'm good," but I mean, you know, like, what the, like, it's just sort of like, and he was saying like, he was like, "Dude, she's fucking racist. She's curious. But she's never had a black man talk to her, and she's fucking scared. But at the same time, she is curious, and that's fucking bullshit." Then another night, after the San Francisco show, I was like, I didn't like the comics was drinking in one spot, but I was like, I just kind of want to like, I just need to like decompress because it was like a bunch of comics. I closed out both shows. I was fucking tired. I'm like, all right, let me. But I still needed. I needed to decompress before like I went back to the house. So I had some drinks and I'm talking with this one bartender at this one place, and he's like, he's hooking up a few like, and he did a thing that like really good general managers do, where it's like I was waiting like 10 minutes for a drink, and he said, "What do you want?" And I said, "Tequila on the rocks," and he just handed it to me free of charge. Fucking dope. And then he said, you know why I hooked you up with that one? Because it's like, I feel like a piece of shit. You wait 10 minutes for a drink. I'm like, 15, nigga. So he's like, you wait that long for a drink. And then I'm just like, yeah, that'll be $14. So good guy. But anyways, he's talking to me about like working in Lake Tahoe and serving the Currys and Draymond and, you know, Michael Jordan's just like a piece of like, apparently Michael Jordan lost money and then he asked for the money back. And it's like, no, motherfucker, you know how gambling works? And just berating people, not even drunk, just like a horrible shit talker. Shaq is an amazing person. He's actually funnier than he is on TV. And Shaq, like, it was something where there was already a tip built in with whatever Shaq was doing up there. And then he was like tipping like $1,000 on top of that. Like, apparently Shaq's a great tipper and a great guy. Michael Jordan's shitty tipper, shitty guy. But we kind of knew that. But so anyways, he doing that, he's introducing me to like fine mezcal. It's just like smooth and amazing. But he's doing the thing where it's like, okay, you're kind of talking my ear off and not asking me questions, but you're also hooking me up with pours on the way, so I'm with it. But then this is just like some really weird shit to happen. Like, so he's talking to me, I'm getting ready to head out. And he said, I'm sorry, Lyle, you're great, but look, I gotta kick you out. I'm like, you were talking the entire fucking time. Like, I figured, like, it was like, he's like, and I gotta get myself a drink. He was acting like I was like over, like I was like just wrapping up my drink and waiting for him to finish talking. But then he's fucking, I'm like, this is fucking odd. Like, I'm serious. Every time I'm here, it feels like the fucking Twilight Zone. Then there's the thing, the Sunday show. I did really, really well on the Sunday show. I'm going to upload some clips on the good old Instagram from that show. But then at the Sunday show in Oakland, right? Get off stage, and I'm like, I was wearing like Crenshaw hoodie, and this one dude was like, oh yeah, you from LA? Okay, that's what's up. Yeah, yeah, I live in Santa Rita, blah, 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 blah. That's what's up. I'm like, what's up, man? You on the Grand, man? Like, I'll be coming back here to do shows if you're ever in LA. And he's like, oh yeah, man, I gotta go. But I got you from the flyer. And I said, there was no flyer, and I'm not on the flyer. He's like, no, I got you. And I'm like, you full of shit. And then he was there, like, if it was one thing, if he was like in a rush. But it was like, because he took the time to acknowledge, it's like, I have a thing when people go out of their way to, like, say something to me, and it's not like, okay, if you acknowledge, like, my shirt or my talent or whatever, that, like, you owe me something, that you owe getting a drink with me, or you owe me your phone number, or you owe a follow on the gram or whatever, but it's like, that's just fucking, like, hey, good shit, and then keep it moving, or like, I like your hoodie, oh, thanks. And keep it moving. But it's one thing when you, like, actually engage me that I'm like, hey, what's up? And then you're just like, oh. And that fucking only happens in the Bay. Like, it's just so weird. And it's like, in LA, it's more like networking culture. And it's like, okay, what's your thing? All right, let me get your shit. Because for all the shit that people say that's, like, fake about LA, and it's like, it's half fake, but then it's also just like, niggas is busy, and that shit's on the other side of town, and we tired. It's not always that. But with that said, I'm just like, this is some, like, just fucking kooky shit that is just out here. Oh, yeah, and the other thing. It's so many fucking places, like at bars and venues, where they just don't treat talent right. And it's Bay Area bartenders just get on my fucking nerves, because it's like, they want, like, the utmost respect. Like, they almost want the customer to treat them like they're the customer, and they're the fucking, it's because, look, I do think, like, for how, like, shitty people and a lot of boomers were to service industry people, the pendulum is swinging the other way. And then now that's why we have, like, BuzzFeed articles like 87 ways to piss off your server or bartender, when it really should be like maybe 7. But gee, and the fucking Oakland, man, it's like so many of these places where it's like some, like, tall alpha white lady that owns a bar, and she, like, finds a nigga, takes him in, puts him to work, and it's just like, and you feel tension from the staff, and it's just like, this is not a happy, chill environment. I had that shit at the layover. I had this shit, like, and it's still happening at other places I see. Like, it's fucking, like, the Bay Area just fucking exhausts me. Like, how, nothing here, like, nothing in the Bay feels like real fucking life. And I remember, like, on stage one of the nights, like, oh, I'll get into it later, but where I was just having, like, a real good old delicious bomb. I said, I'm so fucking glad I don't live here. It felt good to be able to say that. This is the Let's Unpack That podcast. I'm your warm and convivial host, Lyle Behrens. Thank you very much for tuning in. Please rate it 5 stars. Please share on social media. Tag me if you enjoyed it, all that good stuff. With that said, today, I don't even know if it should be called Let's Unpack That. Maybe it should be called, like, Let's Bitch About That. Let's fucking bitch and complain about the Bay Area and fucking people. So, look. This episode, I will be taking you guys behind the curtain and all the things that go in with stand-up comedy within dealing with audiences, on stage, dealing with staff. This is going to be a real behind-the-scenes look. So, and I'm not, like, I don't want to make this like a comedy-centric podcast where it gets all inside baseball. But we don't often do this, so I think this will be fun. Hope you guys enjoy the show and have a wonderful Thanksgiving. So one thing I've learned in life is you'll have plans and your plans can let you down. It's not even like not everything goes according to plan. Everything goes according to plan, but then you do the plan and you're in the moment and it's happening. And I mean, look, there's something to be said for like building things up, which I mean, I think a lot of us do because we do live in we live through our screens and, you know, there's less time living in real time, and like our living in real time is through a screen, so like just everything's like a little bit weird, but we're not gonna get all meta right now. Shit, that'd be double meta, I guess. No, but so for me, like through stand-up comedy and like having shows, whether it's like a tour, a week, and going on the road, I have these things that like I've built, like, oh, this is gonna be dope, and then this is gonna happen, and it's not like not like you think it's going to go perfect. Like, you're aware you could bomb. You're aware the people could be whack. You're aware that you can go on stage, fucking kill. Everybody says thank you for coming. And you don't get asked for one social media follow. You don't get offered one, hey, come drink with us. Let me buy you a drink. Like, you're aware of that. You know what I'm saying? But there are certain gigs where you're like, oh, we're going to have fun. You know. And, like, I mean, just on the real life shit before I get to the comedy shit, I remember Jamaica was like the first time I was just like really, really like fucking let down. Cause look, I knew like it was poverty and like motherfuckers were struggling out there, but I also knew it was some fly shit. And I was like, all right, we at the resort, we in the fly shit. But I didn't realize that going to Jamaica would be like going, like, I guess it would be like if Detroit had like some really, really super, like, or Kansas City, there was like some area that was like just fucking gorgeous. Oh my God. But then the second you leave, like, the hotel, it's fucking Detroit. It's fucking Kansas City. This is, like, kind of what, you know, going to Jamaica was. Still great parts about it, but, I mean, that's, you know, that's probably, like, why I just can't, like, I can't see myself ever going to Africa. Because I definitely know I'm not taking my black ass to East Africa. Like, them niggas is... Them niggas is difficult enough to deal with, like, in California. I don't want to deal with them if I... I would probably go to South Africa for the wine and, you know, and maybe other things. North Africa, no. It's like, they're not even niggas at that point. But, and then... West Africa is, like, the point of most interest, right? Because it's, like, the food... You know, but it's like I look at like West Africa, like on TV and stuff, and like it's areas is beautiful, or whatever. But it's got like that third world edness, that third world country aesthetic that like the Caribbean does. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, I don't think I want to fly all the way there for that. I don't fucking want to. So I performed at a fucking casino, but let me tell you my anti going back to Africa take. It's like, I am fucking trash right now, nigga. That is fucking garbage on my part. Point being, it's like a pain in the ass going to the Caribbean, you know, especially from California. Like, probably if I was the East Coast, I'd complain about it. But anyways, like, that's an example, you know. I don't gotta, like, retell my Caribbean tales. But then there's places I've gone where I'm just like, ah, this is just gonna be okay. And then I fucking fall in love. Like, I don't know, like, you know, going to wine country or some shit. Wait. Let me do, like, one more Caribbean analogy. Just to shit on a California town. It'd be like, going to Jamaica is like, if there was some, like, really, really amazing beachside resort in, like, Modesto or Fresno. Ah, all right, you get it. All right, joke's done. Anyways. So I'm doing this casino in Reading, and I did it before, but never as a headliner. I did it, I want to say, twice as a feature, two different comics. Like, one was a co-headline, and one was, like, a feature with, the last time was a feature with Samuel Bade when I went with the love with Hyderabad's finest Utsav Dixit back in 2019. But, with that said, right? This was the gig I was least looking forward to, but it paid quite well. So I was like, fuck it. So me and this comic, Tim Young, we drive up in his Tesla, and it is a 3 hours there, then 3 hours back. So it's 6 hours total, and we're like, yeah, we're not fucking sleeping in the same room with side-by-side beds. Like, we're doing it. We're heading back, getting coffee. Fuck it, right? And by the way, Tim is like fucking... delightful to be. We're talking about, like, because, like, one thing that happens, like, when you car ride with comics, like, if the ride is like, if the full ride time is like over 2 hours, you're gonna know who the comics don't fuck with. Like, I laid out like every fucking beef I had for Tim, then he laid out every beef I had. It really just kind of becomes a therapy venting session. You're like, yeah, this motherfucker. It was really nice. And then like, but then we also like squeezed in who's cool. But Tim is like, there was one comic we talked about that's like quite well liked and popular for their talent and standing. But like, we've both have met them and they're really fucking annoying. And I just liked that we could bond on that. And then, like, another part was, like, I'm like, we had to go get some food. And then we stop at McDonald's. And I said, by the way, Tim, like, because people know, like, I like wine. I'm a I'm drinking a Primitivo right now. People know, like, I like wine and, like, fine dining, and I like to cook and all this sorts of stuff, and I, like, cook with herbs and, like, ginger and whatever. I'm, like, I get chefy with it. And I said to Tim, like, I appreciate that you're like, oh, my God, are you okay with McDonald's? And Tim said, like, yeah, we're fucking comics. Like, I like good food, too, but it's, like, we're on the road, and, like, we just got it. I'm, like, yeah, it's fuel. He's, like, yeah, it's fuel. We just got to do what the fuck we got to do. I just like that I didn't have to have that. Like, it's, like, so I don't want to, you know. It's funny, like, it was a Super Bowl party my cousin was throwing, and he was like, just so you know, like, it's just, I said, like, yo, can I bring anything, like, drink or food or whatever? And he said, just, I mean, it's sure, we're just doing, like, takeout fast food wings, like, I know it's not to your standard. I'm like, nigga, I will eat fucking, you think I'm gonna eat duck confit at, like, a fuck, and I love duck confit, but you think I want duck confit while I'm watching the fucking Super Bowl, and I'm just really here to see fucking, like, Dre, Snoop, and them? Like, no, anyways. Tim was a delight. And I brought two bottles of wine with me. I brought a Petite Sirah and I brought a California Bordeaux. Both from Preston Winery. I was like, yeah, we're going to get up in this. Preston is hard to find in LA, but you can find them. But it doesn't fucking matter. So anyways, through all our shit talking on the way up and like trying to, you know, cause, and that's like one thing when like you bring a comic or you're the comic that's coming. Like, if you're the opening comic, you want to be a good hang. And if you're the comic that's, if you're, like, the headlining comic and you bring in the opener, you want somebody that's, like, because what you don't want in, like, these long car rides up is you don't want the conversations to, like, turn into, like, bad podcast shit or, like, just fucking, like, reaching icebreakers. Like, bad podcast shit and where, like, it turns into, like, basically fuck, marry, kill, where it's like, okay, so let's say if you give Dave Chappelle a show like Seinfeld, where it's a sitcom, but then you give Jerry Seinfeld a sketch show, what do you think happens? Like, I don't want to play like what if. Like, it's, you know, and you don't want somebody that's like, especially me, like, I don't like people that are like super fucking hammy. It was like, hey, and just running bits the whole time. Cause it's like, dude, you gotta be a chill hang. So it's like, it's kind of like a locker room, like, you know, but with like, you know, two, maybe four people max when you're doing these types of gigs. It's like, yeah, everybody's got to be kind of... And for me, it's like when I'm doing these little quick runs where it's like, all right, I call them like bank jobs, even though it's like, it's definitely not like that kind of money. But when you're just going up real quick to get some money, do a set, and then come back down the same night, which I wouldn't call like going on the road, but I'd just say like, you know, you're going out of town. It's gotta be people I can fucking vibe with. Anyways, so you're doing that. We get in, checking in the room, and this is why I fucking love Tim, man. He gets my subtleties because I said like, so a thing me and Sammy have is we had an understanding where it's like, all right, you need the room right now. I need the room right now. And then we go and do our thing, and like the implication being like, all right, you got to take a shit. You want to shower. You want to change your clothes. You wanna change your drawers, you know, you got a bunch of phlegm and you just need to yak it up. Like, whatever the fuck you need to do, you go and do that, you know? So, you need and then he was like, okay, got you. And he said, well, I just need to use the bathroom right now. I'm like, bet, I'm gonna be over here. Then he did that. Then I went in and I brought merch with me, brought some t-shirts and everything and all my multiple phone chargers and shit. Everybody knows I got like two phones right now. So with that said, did that, got ready, and like it's been cold, so like my phlegm has been like really, really fucked up. So I had like a good like 2 minutes of, I'm not gonna get graphic, but you know, it's really cold up there, and I've been in LA where it's warmer too. So it's, yeah, not an easy adjustment. So anyways, sipping wine, getting ready for the show to start. It's funny, the guy comes. It's funny, like, the difference between white comics and black comics with, like, intro music. Because he comes up to me, and the sound guy, he's like, what do you want to come out to? And I said, Drake and 21 Savage, Rich Flex. And he's like, oh, is that their new stuff? And I said, it indeed is. And then guy goes up to Tim, and he's like, what do you want to come out to? And he's like, I don't care. And he's like, well, AC/DC to Back in Black or whatever that shit is. Don't, no. Like, what? I don't know how the fuck that shit goes. he was like, you know, that's a good thing to come out to. And Tim was like, yeah, whatever the fuck. Like, and Tim came out to it. Let me see, where is it? I kind of want to see if I can pull it up right now. All right, wait, is this it? And your host, Tim Kuhn. yeah, that was it. That was it. AC/DC Back in Black. It was like, that's good. That's like a boomer white comic walkout music right there. Black comics are just like, yeah, what's hot right now, you know? I'll see like a nigga pick like a... I remember one time it was this Mexican comic. He chose to come out to some MF Doom. I was like, this nigga's gonna bomb, and he fucking did. Cause like, I got my shit that like, I kind of more like rappier shit. Like, I wouldn't play on no loudspeakers, but I'm like, nigga, I'm not trying to come out on stage with Tupac, Lord knows. Like, it's some fucking sad ass shit, nigga. Like, you know, it's been, in 2022, I'm not trying to come out to no Tupac song anyways. Like, you know, it's like, you look like a weirdo. Anyways, so that's happening. Tim's on, and this is like Tim's first time doing a casino and like a more kind of rural gig. And he just started Moshe Kasher's taking on the road. He's doing great things right now, man. So he's fucking with Lyle Behrens. But so he's on stage and he just kind of like get the rhythm and the hang of it. And I didn't have too many notes for him. He did very well. He did good. But as he's doing that, I'm like, all right, what's the, cause I mean, look, to give you an idea of Redding. Oh yeah. And Redding is like 3 hours north of Oakland, just to give you an idea of like where, you know, how fucking far it is. And it's like an hour north of Sacramento. So, you know, it's definitely a ways. You know, like you get notes like, hey, this is a more conservative crowd, so, like, I probably understand how you vote, but, like, don't talk that shit in front of them. You know, you get certain notes when you do certain types of gigs. So I was like, all right, I was keeping all this in mind, and I'm looking at the crowd, but I'm like, the vibe was right. Like, it really, really, it almost felt like when I'm doing, like, a Friday night show at Laughs Unlimited in Old Town Sacramento. You know, I was like, okay, the vibe, I am fucking with the... It was like, this is our, because, you know, I was there, and, like, I always just kind of surveyed the crowd and just kind of get, like, okay, what's the vibe of all these people? And it was, this is what we do on Wednesdays. You know what it was? And this is why comics work fucking casinos. If you're a comic listening to this, work your fucking casinos. I don't care if you fucking get your ass kicked, nigga. Like, be in these fucking uncomfortable situations, right? Cause I went back in my head to a gig that I did that Joe Prano used to book, where he would have I remember I did it, like, I featured Eddie Brill was headlining one time. I did it when I hosted it once, and then like when Joe featured it, then I was always the fucking I was always the feature. And I did it when Taylor what's, you know, the white boy that sound kind of gay, he did America's Got Talent. He's a comedian. He's, you know, I mean, I don't, my bad, but you know what I mean. You know, what's his name? Hold on, let me look this up. America's Got Talent, comedian Taylor Williamson. Yeah, I did it with Taylor Williamson, right? Well, he got a Wikipedia page. Oh shit, that's dope. I mean, I wasn't surprised he got a Wikipedia. Let me shut the fuck up. He's fun to work with. So, anyways, but I remember doing that that Yonkers Casino gig. And by the way, he crushed it. He's amazing. So, hilarious nigga. Amazing. So, but I remember doing that Yonkers gig, right? And being there, I was just like, oh, y'all don't like be going out to like maybe y'all go to like Manhattan or Brooklyn on the weekends, do whatever y'all do, but this is your place. Like, this is, it's like, you're essentially, like, when you do a casino, you essentially performing in these motherfuckers' like watering hole. And look, sometimes they can be shitty, they can be pieces of shit, but in other times, like tonight, well, not tonight, but that night, it was like, yo, we are getting dressed up, we are going out, and we are going to have a good time. Like, they came in, like, we are going to have fun. You know, a lot different than a lot of these fucking, you know, techies that get free tickets off of Fun Sheep at shows in Oakland and San Francisco. I'll fucking tell you that shit. So anyways, I get on stage, and I was like, hey, let me just address it. And I was like, all right, let me say what I appreciate about them. And it was like, oh yeah, it's white boys that got testosterone. It's white boys, this, you know, alpha males, but like for real, not in like the fucking, you know, it's like, it, like you, the white boys is up in there with the fucking American Eagle, with the fucking bald eagle and American flag on the back of their shirt. And they had the fucking caps, the fucking trucker caps with the Ray-Bans on top of them, and the women was like, you know, like slutted. They was looking nice and slutty, you know, just like it was like so like they looked like they was trying to fuck at an Applebee's or a Chili's, like, and I love that shit. So that's the vibe. I do my set, then it's going really well. Then and I know because I was looking at my thing, because I tend to do like 30, and he said, bruh, all I got is 20 to 25, so you're lucky if I even hit 27. And he actually hit 28, and he had a really good set. He got off, and then I had to do like a full hour, and being that like I'm living in LA, I'm not exactly in like headliner hour shape, but thank God for all the many years of me running the light, because, you know, it worked out. But so anyway, so I'm at like the 35 minute mark. I'm doing mostly material with a little bit of, you know, dipping in for crowd work. Then this girl walks up to the stage. You know, she seems like, you know, like nice little white girl. Like, she's dressed like she's just trying to stay warm, but also comfy. And, you know, she walks up with her long sweats, her long sleeves, her long hair. And she hands me a thing of whiskey, and I was drinking wine that I brought earlier, and she hands me this whiskey, and I'm like, oh god damn it. And the crowd just like, they stop being a comedy crowd at that point, and they're like, yeah, 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 and they fucking lose their mind. And I'm like, yo, I will do this when I feel like doing it, thank you. They're like, no, you need to have the drink right now. And I'm like, oh god damn it. And I said, you know, this feels like some Nat Geo shit, you know, like, I feel like I'm a lion and I'm with a bunch of apes. Yeah, I called a bunch of white people apes, even though there was like a few blacks, and was like two black people and some Mexicans sprinkled in this very white area. And I was like, yeah, it's like, I feel like I'm a lion with the apes, and I gotta like adapt to ape culture right now. And you apes, and nobody knew what the fuck I was doing. And like, I do little shit like that on stage sometimes, where like I'll say shit that like only me and some real niggas or black people would find fucking hilarious, and I'll just do it for me. And like, if somebody gets it, cool, and if they don't, you know, it's, I like to call it a, you know, inside baseball, I like to call it inside cooning. But so anyways, so I'm doing that, and like, no, and I'm like, hey, and then they just like, chug, I'm like, I'm not going to be able to continue the show if I don't do this. But I did it in a way where I was like, all right, it's for me. It's, well, then I made a joke. I said, you know, this was like the beginning of 12 Years a Slave, right? Like, he was a musician, and these guys got him drunk, and the next thing you know, he was a slave because they took him below the Mason-Dixon line. They went, oh, I'm like, all right, my bad. I just had to put that in your fucking head. I did the shot. I look, as a performer, I don't think everything should be for the, because the crowd is not always right. Look, if the average person could like customize, you know, meals at a restaurant, it'd be a lot like just based on people, because a lot of people have shitty taste, and it's like, no, you fucking need to know that you need some vegetables on the side. No, you need this. No, the parsley makes it pretty because we eat with our eyes. So yeah, you're not going to eat the parsley, but you need the parsley there. It's like, that was, I was giving these niggas parsley. So that said, and I was in the middle of doing like a bit that was going to lead in to these other bits, and then, and now, and it's at the 35 minute mark, and it was all going to be like, all right, then we roll out the hour. I'm not going to act like I had my hour planned out, but like I had a loose baseline of what the hour was going to be. Then it was to the point where like we was just cooning so much, and I was just like, yeah, I don't even really feel like it's worth me finishing the bit. And I'm like, no, go ahead. I'm like, it's no, no, like, I don't want to feel like a woman where I'm just like, nah, I don't want to tell my story anymore because you told me to speed it up. But I mean, that's kind of what I felt like. And I said, all right, look. And I turned because I never met like the booker of the casino. But so I'm looking at the sound guy. And I said to the crowd, hey, look. Do you guys want me to do material, or I could just hang out with you guys and we could just talk shit and kick it? You know, I got this material, but I don't feel like you guys want me to do this material. And then I turned to the sound guy, like, run shit. And I said, and just so you know, I had the fucking hour, okay? I'm at 36 minutes. They keep fucking interrupting me and trying to get me drunk, okay? And I just want this to end smoothly. So I need you to fucking acknowledge that the fucking time. Like, I was really, and he was laughing his ass off, and I meant that. You know, when I'm angry, people really find that shit funny. But so I'm doing that. He's laughing his ass off. I'm like, yeah, just hang out. Yeah, fuck material. Hang out with us. And then I just did a bunch of fishing crowd work and went around the room. And it was good. And we closed out the show. And it was a fucking blast. And this is like really cheap of me. But I said, wait, is this one of the better shows you guys have been to in some time? Like, yeah, it was. So, something, there's some dips because it's like, all right, I'm abandoning my act in this room, which a lot of veteran headliners would be like, you never fucking ask them. But I'm like, no, I'm a crowd work guy anyways. I'm a personality guy. Like, you know, I don't have the most memorable jokes in the world, but I have very memorable moments. And I'm okay with that. Like, I don't think people come out to be like, oh, I want to see what Lyle Behrens is writing. I feel like people come out like, I just want to kick it with the nigga Lyle and just see what may happen. You know, that's how I think people fucking engage with me. But with that said, in the show, there's probably like, you know, there's some dips in it. But overall, it's like a really, really good hour. And everybody says, like, one of the better shows that they have seen all year. Because, you know, they fucking come there, like a lot of them come there every Wednesday. So then, end of the show, and there's this old guy that came to me later, and I'm walking up and I had a fucking, oh yeah, and then that fucking Drake and 21 is playing loud, because like right before the end of my set, I was like, by the way, please play that Rich Flex the whole way through, so we hear that, can you do something for me, 21, so that shit playing, right, it was this sweet old man, and I say sweet old man, because he's smiling, he looks meek. You know, he's kind of hunched over, he's by himself, and you just feel like, God, this fucking sweet poor guy, I hope he's got a woman somewhere, this may be a widower, and he came up to me earlier in the show when I had my AirPods, and he said, oh, I can't wait to see you, and I say sweet also because he did no weird racial shit that old white guys can kind of do, he was just, and he's like, that was one of the best ones I ever saw. And he said, you know, I wanted to buy you a drink. And I said, the bar's still open, nigga. He's like, oh, yeah, what do you want? I'm like, I'll do another whiskey. Goes, gets a whiskey, and then we drink. And he's like, I'm not drinking, but I work at the Goodwill. And I'm like, God, this is fucking sweet. Like, white. And I realize this a lot. I'm calling like a white guy, a old white man, that lives in the fucking forest suite, but I mean, I can't help myself. He warmed my fucking heart. It's just like, God, this guy's so fucking nice. And he told me how much of a fun time he had, and it was great. Sold some merch. Then at one point, it was actually a group of people in the front row that I was fucking with. And they were like the kind of, like they wanted to be fucked with, you know, it was like, it was two guys, and it was a group of like two white and three or four Latinas. And like the women, like I said, like the guys are just kind of like dressed like whatever, but the women, you know, they was really, they looked like they was like really trying to, they at the very least looked like they was planning on getting pictures for the gram. They look good. So we get done with the show. I'm like, yeah, yeah, we'll use some pictures with you. And I was like, hell yeah, 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 let's do it, let's do it. Let's do it for the gram. They're getting pictures with me and Tim. And then one of the girls that I was like flirting on. It was that type of crowd. It was like there's different types of Lyle. So, because there's like different iterations of Lyle. There's like what you see in the, if you see me like in a major city, that's kind of who I am. But if you see me, let's say, doing a private show, let's say a country club, or let's say a casino, you're getting these modified versions of me. So like me at the casino is just a version of me, but it's not who I am, but it is part of me. It's, you know, like on the show, I probably repeated it, so forgive me, but on the show Industry on season two, it was this scene where Asian dude, I think his name's Ken, I can't remember, it's, you know, I've only watched it one, I haven't rewatched it yet, but the Asian dude, he same dude that fucked up Junior Soprano at the kind of the luxury mental facility, right? On the show Industry, he finds his former boss's MAGA hat, and people, he's been living in London, but he's an Asian American, and he's at an Asian restaurant, and people are telling him about, you know, what happened during COVID with people beating up old Asian fucking people and people targeting Asian businesses because, you know, like the quote unquote Kung Flu and coronavirus and Chinese people eating bats and whatever the fuck people thought, right? So he brings up the fact to his ex-boss slash deceased mentor's wife that he would say, quote, that was the best little chink I ever had, and various other, you know, racial slurs and things that were fucked up. And she said, well, I don't know what to say, but that's not who he was. And he said, no, that was who he was. It just wasn't all of who he was, but it was a part of who he was. And I think we need to acknowledge these. So anyway, so that's, I'm sorry. That's just been living my mind rent free. So for me, when I perform at certain these places, you're getting I don't want to say it's like code switching, but it's like you're getting a version of that. But so I was like, all right, I'm going to be flirty. I'm going to be fun. I'm going to be festive because I'm like, look, my thing is, these people work with their hands. They fucking, like, it's not a lot of people sitting in front of a computer all day. And if they are sitting in front of a computer all day, it's probably they're probably like an office admin at a school, or they're like concierge at like a hotel. But it's not a lot of people, it's not a lot of white collar folk. So, like, look, I get off, I want to have fucking fun. I don't have a good time. I don't want to hear your nuanced opinions about the world. So I'm like, I'm going to give it to you. Y'all got dressed up. I'm getting paid. Fuck it. Let's go to work, nigga. I'm not that pretentious of a fucking artist. All right, I'm done patting myself on the back. But I'm proud of the show that I gave them. Then we take the pictures. And then one girl, she bends over. Well, no, first she, like, accidentally backs into me, and she said, oh, shit, and she bends over, and then she just starts grinding on my dick. And I'm like, well, I can't say I didn't see this coming, but, you know, well, this is pleasant. Then as we're taking pictures of both of them, right, like, they probably did it to Tim, too. But they're like, they did, like, the guy thing, where it was like, oh, yeah, I'll have my arm around your back, and then they slid their back and kind of lightly touched my ass. Not like in a perfect, just in like, oh yeah, we're just like, it's like good fucking, it felt like 2014. Like, remember how fun 2014 was? before, like, you know, just Me Too and Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton just fucked up all our fun. Like, it felt like that type of shit when you could just be a fucking person. And I'm just gonna say, Reading was a fucking blast. Like, yeah, the food fucking sucks. Yeah, you can't, you gotta bring your own wine. Yeah, you know, it's a long drive back, and it's all these other things, but the people reminded me why I just really, you know what, this is like really a people appreciation pod at this point, right? The people, I fucked with it, man. Some of the most fucking fun I've had so far on this run. And let me just say, when I was talking about the lady twerking on me very fucking well, I might add, that was just for contrast for what I'm about to say later. I did not mean that in a braggadocious way. Like, yeah, that was touchy-feely and it was all fun and all that stuff, but that wasn't like, oh, we gonna fuck these niggas. Like, I don't mean no disrespectful way or no kissing, whatever. Like, because it's like, look, I'm sure they got, like, men at home, men getting ready to work the graveyard shift or men in prison or whatever the fuck. Like, it's like, hey, we just having fun. It's loose. It's loosey-goosey. It's a good time. We letting off some steam with each other, and then we go our separate ways. That's why I said all that to say that. You know, it's like bumping and grinding on a motherfucker in a club. It's like, yeah, I am rubbing my meat on your butt cheeks, and it is a really good time, and especially to do it, you know, with some rhythm. But it's like, I know, like, you got a man, or I got a girl, whatever, and it's fun. We just letting off some steam. That's all it is. So to get that for context, right? So then I'm doing the Oakland and San Francisco shows. So I'm going to try not to, because, like, the guys that, like, ran the shows and booked me for it, they were fucking incredible. You know, just first-class treatment all the way. Got nothing, like, they some real ones. I got nothing bad to say. I'm going to talk about the fucking audience. So it was shows was good, shows was mid. I cut to the fucking, which one was it? It was the late show on Friday in Oakland. So I'm on stage. And look, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to take a little bit of responsibility. I had to get off at least one fuck Oakland set. Because I really do be feeling like fuck Oakland. Fuck the Bay Area. And you got to really be from, because look, if I say fuck Oakland, fuck the Bay Area, a nigga from Oakland or the city will be like, yeah, I know what you mean. But somebody that's like, you know, from San Mateo, or somebody who's from Burlingame, or somebody is from fucking Fremont or Newark, they'd be like, no, no, it's all about the Bay. But you got to be from Oakland or the city when you hear me say fuck the Bay or fuck Oakland, fuck San Francisco. Be like, yeah, I get it. You know, I love it here, but I get it. I'll put it like that, right? So I had to get that off. Because it's like, there's a difference between, it's like when white people talk about Oakland, it's like if a white person is like from Oakland, shits on Oakland, like they was born and raised in Oakland, I'm like, all right, yeah, 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 hell yeah. But then there's the other kind of way, like, yeah, just fucking Oakland, the crime. It's like, all right, you're using saying fuck Oakland to say fuck niggas, and that's whack. Because when I say fuck Oakland, I mean, like, the white people with the blue hair. I mean all the pronoun niggas. I mean, it ain't just about, you know, niggas smashing windows and crime and potholes or whatever, you know. Because they don't fix potholes in cities where a bunch of black people live. But anyways, so I knew I had to get it out my system at some point, and I chose the late show a little bit. I was doing my main material, but the second I felt they just wasn't fucking with it, I was like, it was like I was in Reading again. I'm like, man, fuck material, nigga. So anyways, I'm going around doing my little crowd work, and they're just being very kind of tight. And it was a very diverse crowd. They're very tight and difficult. And then I turn, this is the whole point, though. I turn these group of like women in the corner. It's like four women, you know, at a table. And I said, so which tech company do you guys work at? And one girl, blonde chick, she said, you're judging a book by its cover. I said, yeah, that's my fucking job. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. You are correct. I am judging a book by its cover. You guys look like you work at a tech company. That was the fucking joke. That is it. That is done. That's it. You were supposed to say which tech company, or the crowd was supposed to nervously laugh because they're a bunch of fucking pussies. And we moved, but that's what the fuck it was supposed to be. I'm getting ready to like go hit another table. I'm like, all right, moving on. I go look at another table. Like, all right, let me go hit this other table up. Then this other girl is at the table full of blondes. Is this girl and. She's like swarthy. She's very I don't think she's black or Mexican. I don't think she's black or Latina, but she's like she's quite brown. And I don't think she's Indian. She's like Greek and Italian, and she's something, right? And then she says something. I can't remember what she says. I'm like, hey, but look, I'm like, oh shit, you pretty, you know. And I said that, one, because I was, you know, like, I'd fuck her. But that wasn't all the main reason why I said it. The main reason why I said it was because I'm like, all right, let me give out a compliment that sounds genuine, and then we can reset the room. We can reset the tone a little bit. Like, oh, shit, you pretty. And I was like, let me get in my charming bag. Because it's like, because certain comics will like insult the audience and then go, I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm not that guy. Like, I don't fucking love it. It's not believable. You know? I was like, oh, you're pretty. Then the blonde, her friend, the blonde, she puts her hand up flat and then just waves it like a fucking cunty Frenchman. I want to say it was like a line on King of the Hill when Hank say to Bobby, don't wave your hands at me. You wave your hands at me like you're a Frenchman. That show is so fucking great. But that's not what I said, because I don't fucking steal cartoon sitcom jokes. By the way, I'm just lighting a candle right now. That's the vibe. Ugh, very sensual. But anyway, so what I said was, well, what the fuck was that Drive Miss Daisy shit right there, nigga? What was that go get the car, nigga, hands at me for? And she's like, nothing, just finish your set. And I was like, you white cunt. In my head, I did not say it out loud, but in my head, I was like, you little white fucking cunt. You are not going to wave your hands like... Let's just acknowledge, because it's like, Lyle Barron says, white cunt. Let's just acknowledge the dynamics, right? I am being fully a comedian in the moment, right? Working the crowd, some of it's hitting, some of it's not, right? Your friend says something when I'm like moving on. She says something to me. I turn around and say, oh, you're pretty. That's it. Not yet. I suck your. Oh, I can tell you got some good. I wasn't saying all the shit I was saying in Reading. But I was like, you got an Apple Watch. I can tell you got some good pussy. I can say that in Reading and then it's fucking laughing. But like, there's no way I would say it in a big city just because I'm like, it's different because, you know. People in big cities, like, you know, they like to think a lot about things that, you know, before they have fun. Well, I don't know. How do I feel about you saying that? You know? So, friend says that, then she fucking waves me off. I'm like, yeah, just, and I said, what the fuck was that? She said, just finish your set. And I said, well, now we not, now fuck comedy, nigga. It's like when he's a fuck rat, nigga. That's how the fuck I felt in that moment. I felt like, nigga, fuck rap, you know? So anyways, I say, like, what was that about? And she said, you're using your platform to speak about her looks. And I said, I'm in the middle of talking. She says something out loud when I didn't ask her a question. When you guys are only here to hear me speak. And I said, oh, wow, you're pretty, before I was going to say what I was going to say. And then you fucking waved your hands at me like, go get the car, nigga. What the fuck is you talking about? Right? And she's like, well, you're using your platform. And then here's the kicker, right? The swarthy girl, she said, the swarthy girl wanted to fuse it because the swarthy girl said, it's okay, you're from LA, I'm from LA too, I get it, like, you're about looks. And I said, I'm not about looks, you just said a fucking thing. But look, and to her credit, she was trying to defuse it, and her blonde friend was more turned up. Let me start off just by saying, the Bay Area will make you a fucking misogynist. Like, I, you know what's like, what's it like really, like, left the Bay, like, I liked women more. This, I just really think, like, the worst women in the world just gravitate towards the fucking Bay Area. And I don't say this in a way of, like, oh, I get so much pussy. Like, you know, like, the second I get to, like, Santa Cruz or fucking, you know, Napa, like, the second I get out of the Bay Area, I'm just swimming in puss, man. I don't mean, it's not... It's just, like, this ability to, like, oh, so what, Lyle? Do women need to, like, just fucking ask for pictures with you and put their butt cheeks in your crotch in order for you to be, like, they're okay, motherfucker, asshole? No, nigga. It's what I'm saying. It's like, but have some, like, shut the fuck up and have some fucking fun. Or if you're gonna talk, be fun if you're gonna talk, you know? If you're gonna interrupt a fucking show. And the reason that fucking bothered me so much, right, is let's say if instead of a fucking blonde, let's say it was a straight white male with a strong jawline. Like, let's just say it was a fucking straight white male, right? And somebody that's obviously straight. Not one of these, like, hyper-feminist white dudes who are like, yeah, let me tell you how you should treat women. It's like, dude, you're just doing all that shit and you're just trying to fuck every woman in your friend group. And then you're going to talk about, like, oh, I don't believe in monogamy. I believe you're a piece of shit. You just try to hide that you're a piece of shit behind fucking, like, white bitch philosophy. So, respect. So with that said, right, some straight white dude is with her and he's like, hey, man. And he's just, I'm like, my bad. You fucking her, nigga? I just said she's pretty, bro. And he's like, no, I'm not. Like, but you just can't do that. What would happen? You don't need to speak for her. She can speak for herself, asshole. She doesn't need a man to speak for her, motherfucker. So I look at that whole situation right that I was in. Let's just get to the basics. I'm doing crap. Like, you were at a live comedy show. That's, and I understand why some people, like, and it annoys me when some people be like, have you seen this person on Netflix? Have you seen this person? But they never talk about, like, who they seen live, because it's like, yeah, it's the difference between watching tigers on YouTube and going to the zoo and then going on motherfucking safari. It is very, like, though, it's three different worlds. And even with the zoo, you got the glass. But even just being like, yeah, I want to see some motherfucking tigers in person. Shit's different. And then you get on the, I don't know, you go to, like, South Africa or some shit with the, or Australia, and you're in the little fucking, the little limo golf cart without the windows. My God. But so anyway, so, crowd work. Moving on. Girl says something. Hey, you're pretty. Her friend. You know, it's fucked up. Because we know which way it would go if man did that. And I just say all that to say, and look, this is an epidemic all around, especially in, like, coastal, like, lefty cities. White people want to own anti-racism and sexism more than the people to get hit with it the fucking most. And I don't just mean white people. I mean, it's a certain type of black. I'm not Mexican. I'm not American. I'm Chicana, UC Berkeley. Like, there's like all these types. Like, I say white culture, but look, it's POCs. By the way, if you call yourself a POC, like, I know you full of shit. But I am not a person of color. I'm a person of nigga. Don't ever come at me with that shit. But so anyways, I'm knowing that, right? I'm knowing that. I'm sorry, I gotta reset myself right now. I gotta reset myself because I'm just like, these people are so, like, because it's people like this every, no, point that I was making, though, it's people like this in all sorts of, like, coastal lefty cities, but in the Bay Area, it's just so fucking concentrated, and you really just don't get a mix of, like, you know, because look, I feel like, look, the Redding people should think more, and the Bay Area people should just shut the fuck up and catch a vibe more, and not everything is a fucking think piece and a, I've got something to say. You know, it's not everything is that. Like, sometimes shit is just, you're having fun. Or you look back later and you're like, wow, that was kind of fucked up. But not everything is a dehumanizing moment. Some shit was just some shit that occurred. And if you look back, you do it differently. You know better, you do better. But it doesn't mean, it's just such a fucking stupid place, man. Then I was at a show. Not gonna say where until later, but I was at a show, and the bar staff is so fucking shitty to the talent. And it's this place where, and a lady is the owner. Like, look, she got a really nice ass. I will say that. But she is just so, like, they don't even get, like, the basic pleasantries to talent. And my thing is, and this was also at a venue I was at in San Francisco, where it's like, yeah, you guys, it's like the bartenders in a way, like, some of them, because some of them are also awesome. But I'm saying this scenario, they look at us like we're the fucking janitor. And maybe it's because, like, you know, some of us is niggas. Like, I don't know. But what I'm saying is I'll see them like, and I don't need the same respect from you that you are going to give to like a patron that will probably have a higher bill and has no drink tickets. But come on. Anyways, so at the show tonight, I'm doing a Sunday spot. And I really, really had a really, really fucking good set. You know? So I'm doing a Sunday spot. Then at one point, I'm like, get a drink ticket. I'm like, yeah, let me get a margarita. And I get it. Takes like 5 minutes. And there's not a lot of... Takes 5 minutes. Get the drink. Cool. Drinking it. And I only have like a $20 bill on me. And I'm like, all right, she's busy making a million drinks. I'll ask her to break this fucking 20 later. And then I'll tip out. So I go. One of the producers of the show hands me another drink ticket. And he said, make sure you tip her next time. And I'm like, and this is relevant because this is a venue where they have an automatic 18% gratuity on every check and every drink. Otherwise, I wouldn't bitch about it. Otherwise, I would have tipped instantly. But I'm like, how many drinks have I paid for here? How long until I actually looked at the check and was like, why is she, oh, you guys had an automatic 18% motherfucking gratuity. How many times have I done? And then I gotta get caught secondhand, like, oh, he didn't tip. I'm like, I gotta tip literally, like, I have a track record with you. Like, you can't, it's not even, that's just bad business and bad leadership. And of course I tipped out when I got a second drink. Of course I did. But then I left early because, like, the vibes is shitty. I just don't like the fucking vibes. Anyways, with that said, right? Very fucking anticlimactic. Because, you know, like, I really thought the Redding show was going to be horrible. Oh yeah, then I my show in San Francisco, where my peoples really, really, really came out to fuck with me. I headlined two shows at this theater in San Francisco. Motherfuckers came through, showed love, got fly, got drinks. I appreciated it. You know, but I got no post show invite. Like, I'm like, oh, I don't have friends anymore. I just have fans. And I guess I'm okay with it, but I don't know. It feels a little weird. It also just had me being like, two things. One, it put a lot of things in perspective for me. One, it's great that I'm in LA because I finally got my like going out friends. I got my dinner friends. I got, as you know, culinary coon. I got my wine bar people. I got my let's go get some cocktails. Let's go get on some hoes friends. Like, I have my people, you know, and I had to cut an arm off in order for that arm to, like, I don't know what lizards do with their tail. I had to cut a tail off and grow a new fucking tail. And it feels fucking great, right? So it's just like, oh, I am in the place that I need to be in. That's number one. Number two is just like, how would I put it? Like I said on stage, that Friday show, that little fucking bitchy blonde. By the way, I'm reminded why I don't live here. By the way, let me put a pin in this real quick, all right? And then we're going to spin the block. There's a thing that white women have where, why are you talking to my friend? And it's, especially, it's bae bitches have a lot, but where it's like, oh my God, you're talking to my friend. And a part of me feels like this blonde was just really mad the fact that a nigga wasn't giving her the attention. And I'm not saying, like, if I called her pretty, she would have been like, it's just also like, how fucking full of shit are you? Like, you're using your platform. I was like, bitch, I'm a 32-year-old nigga on a stage cooning for your approval. You act like I work at fucking Microsoft, bitch. No, nigga. That's not what the fuck this shit is. Like, where the fuck do you think you are? You know? You at a fucking comedy show. At a place that charges 18% gratuity for a drink. Where the fuck do you think? Like, what do you think this is supposed to be, you know? So anyways, God, that shit just really pissed me off. It's, you know what it is? Like, there's certain shit, and this was a line that Leon said on Curb Your Enthusiasm. There's certain shit, it's beyond audacity, but it's not quite racism. It's caucasity, or it's like you was fucked up in your state of whiteness to do something. I feel like it's a lot of people in the Bay Area is fucked up in their state of whiteness or fucked up in their state of non-niggardom trying to check a African-American, and they just miss. So, and it's just like, yo, it's not that I'm above criticism from anybody that looks like me, because you can be whatever and criticize me and be in the right, and I can be in the wrong. I can say I get it. But not in this space. Get the fuck out of here. I hated that shit. Anyways, I'll spin the block. I was reminded, like, yeah, I got no fucking place out here. This culture just ain't for me. I'm an LA Laker. I'm not a Golden State Warrior. It is what it is. But yeah, man, the anticlimactic shit. Because I really thought Reading was just going to be, like, fucking garbage. And it was the highlight of the whole fucking run. Like, just from the shit, like it was a fun hang with Tim. Then even though, like, we had to fucking eat McDonald's. And we had, like, chicken wings and fries after, because, like, the sit-down spot was closed. But we was drinking wine. And we was drinking Petit Sirah, eating chicken tenders and chicken wings and fries. And Tim has really good etiquette. He was, like, getting the fries with his fork instead of his fingers. He's like, come on, man. Like, like, I fucking love that kid. Anyways. Like, you know, that's the fucking thing about life, you know? I also gotta say, I'm very disappointed I've not found myself with a hangover this entire trip. Like, I've been out with the boys all these nights, and every all three of them, which is like, it was like Jacob, Hunter, Jason. They was all like, "Nah, man, you don't need to get fucked up, man. You gotta show up. Nah, you don't need to get fucked up. Everybody's being all responsible and shit and looking out for me. I don't got no hangover. I haven't like spent a bunch of money. I'm just like." I cannot believe that the most fun shit I did was 3 fucking hours away. This has been the Let's Unpack That podcast. I've been your host, Lyle Behrens. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Hope you have a nice Thanksgiving. And if you are in the Bay Area, you can come to one of my shows. Oh, man. All right. Have a good one.